Morning, turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8 this morning. And when you found it, you can say amen and we'll know you're there. Not hard to find. The book of Acts comes after the books of Acts, and that would be Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Easy to find this morning. So when you found it, if you'll say amen, we'll know that you're there. Amen. All right, Acts chapter number 8. We're going to start there in verse number 26. If you know your Bible at all, you know this is a familiar story talking about the Ethiopian eunuch. And this morning, we're going to have a baptism after the service. And the Lord impressed upon my heart to bring a message on this thought about baptism. And I've been waiting to bring this message. I've had it sitting there. I've been waiting a number of weeks to preach it. And the Lord impressed upon my heart, this is where we want to go this morning. It's more of an instructional, informational type message, but yet it's an important message. And so in Acts chapter number 8 and verse 26, this is what the Bible says. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem, unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? He desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which we read was this, He was led as sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before a shearer. So he opened not his mouth, and his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet, this of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What if there be to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found that Azotus, passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Now, the thought this morning, the place of our text, is in verse number 36. And the little phrase where he said, See, here is water. What if hindered me to be baptized? Here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Let's pray. Father, I pray you bless the word this morning as we preach on this thought of baptism and what the Bible says about it and why people should be involved in it and the importance of and significance of what baptism really is. I believe it's one of the most misunderstood doctrines of the Bible when it comes to what baptism does for a person and what it symbolizes. And Father, I pray that, Lord God, as we preach this morning, that the Holy Ghost of God would do its business and do its work in the hearts of every believer this morning. And if there be one that's lost, undone in their sin, may they see, Lord, that God, that baptism is not what saves a person from a devil's hell. It's faith in Jesus Christ. And God, they can be baptized in every pool and pond and river and that there is and still die and go to hell. Father, bless the word and help me to bring it this morning, and we'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this morning as I preach on this thought of here is water, what doth hinder me baptized. This is a great example. The first Gentile was ever saved and then followed the Lord in believer's baptism and set the example of what of the things that we practice and follow today. Now, there is a lot of confusion when it comes to baptism. Yeah, I'll ask people, are you saved? And they'll say, well, I was baptized. And I'm thinking, not even what I ask you. I ask if you were saved. Have you been born again? Has your name written on the book of the roll of heaven? Have your sins been forgiven? I didn't ask if you're baptized. Because there's a lot of confusion when it comes to baptism. A lot of controversy when it comes to baptism. I was raised Roman Catholic, and they say when you're sprinkled by the priest, it takes away original sin and puts your names on the rolls of heaven. And boy, there's a lot of controversy when it comes to that. Baptizing babies and baptizing children that don't know what they're doing. And this idea, I think to myself, what sin does a child have? I think they're innocent in the eyes of Almighty God. And the Bible says they have an angelic representation in heaven. And I can't think of any sin that a 3-month-old or a 6-month-old or a 6-week-old or a 1-day-old baby has. A lot of confusion when it comes to that. A lot of controversy. That's why there was so much killing, and I mean killing, during the 1600s over people rejecting infant baptism as a way and part of salvation. No doubt there's a lot of corrupt doctrine when it comes to baptism. Whole denominations that believe in baptismal regeneration. And that is, the moment that you are put into the water, your sins are forgiven. And there's an old preacher down south, he used to preach, and he'd say this. He'd say, there are three that are born in the water outright. A skeeter, a tadpole, and a Campbellite. And that was speaking about the Church of Christ. And they used to have battles over that, because the Church of Christ teaches that if a Church of Christ pastor or elder baptizes you, the moment you hit the water, your sins are forgiven. Now, we know that's not true. Water doesn't forgive sins. Water can't wash away sins, right? And if water could wash away sins, then you'd get saved every night when you took a shower. Water doesn't wash away sins. The blood of Jesus Christ washes away sins. I think the Bible teaches that very clearly. But can I just, in a few minutes here, tell you what baptism... I want to tell you what baptism isn't and what it doesn't do. Just in way of introduction, just so there'll be no doubt in your mind this morning, already we know it doesn't forgive sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's wells, and sinners cleansed beneath the flood. Cleanse all my guilty stains. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ, right? So baptism does not forgive sin. And never forget that. Again, you could grow gills and be on first name base with Nemo, and you still wouldn't be saved. But nonetheless, it doesn't forgive sin. And it's not sprinkling. It's not sprinkling. You think about that. That is not baptism. What is baptism? That's when you go under and come back up. And so it's not sprinkling. Can I say this? It's not for babies. I think I've already said that. A baby is safe where there's no knowledge of sin. There's no transgression. Babies are safe. So it's not for babies. It's not essential to go to heaven. How do you know that? Because in Luke 23, when the thief died on the cross, he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest thy kingdom. And Jesus said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. And he wasn't baptized. Now, I know the Mormons and Church of Christ and some other denominations teach that you can be baptized by proxy. And that is, you can get baptized for people who were never baptized. And this one Mormon guy, he said, I have opened the gates of heaven to 100,000 people because I've been baptized that many times. Now, there's no way he was baptized 100,000 times. But I'll say this, that's a false doctrine if there ever was. He said, I'm going to get people out of hell by getting baptized for them. That's as bad as what the Catholic Church teaches. I'm going to pray the rosary prayers and light candles, get people out of purgatory. What's the difference? There's no difference. The Mormons teach that, and certain denominations teach that, but baptism cannot. You cannot get baptized for somebody else to save their soul. Again, a lot of confusion. They get that out of 1 Corinthians 15, where it says, what should we do for those that are baptized for the dead? The idea is, we are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And the fact that He died and was buried and rose again the third day, baptism is a picture of that, but we'll get to more of that later. But the idea that someone could be baptized for someone else is ludicrous. You can't get saved for someone else. Hey, if I could get saved from someone else, I'd save the whole world. I would. Nobody would have to go to hell if I could get saved for someone else. Because if I could save someone else, I would do it. Wouldn't you? Would you let anyone die and go to hell if you could keep them from going there? You wouldn't do that. You're not that cold and that callous. If it was possible, you would do it. But it's not possible. Salvation is an individual thing. It's individual. There's nothing mystical or hard about baptism. I know the Catholic Church, I was raised Catholic, they had holy water. And they said, well, let me tell you, there's no holy water. There's no holy water. The truth of the matter is, when it comes to baptism has a significance. And there's a reason why the eunuch wanted to be baptized. When you believe in Jesus Christ, the next thing that you'll want to do as a child of God is follow the Lord in believer's baptism. There's no doubt about that. Now, why do we baptize? You know, why do we do it anyway? We're Baptists. We're a Baptist church, right? Remember John the Baptist? What did John the Baptist do? He baptized people, did he not? Yes, he was John the Baptist. He went around baptizing people. And Jesus Christ baptized people. And we call ourselves Baptist after the ideal of the Anabaptists in Germany who refused infant baptism. If you know anything about Baptist history, our Baptist history goes back to Germany, where they were called Anabaptists because they refused the baptism of the Catholic Church and the Lutheran Church and those who were who were breaking off from the Catholic Church, the Protestants. And the Anabaptists said, we're not accepting this doctrine of infant baptism. And they began to re-baptize believers who had put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And they were persecuted. They were burned at the stake. They were drowned. They were beaten. And if you know anything about church history, that's what happened to them. And that's how the name Baptist came along. It was given to them by their enemies and by their critics. And that's why, that's where the word Baptist comes from. And of course, they, migrated to America and, i.e. the Baptist church that we have today. Now, it doesn't go back to Peter. It goes back to Germany with the Anabaptists, all right? Just to make that kind of clear. But why do we baptize? In Matthew 28, when we baptize someone, we usually read these scriptures. If you look in Matthew 28 and verse 19, it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen." We have been commanded by God to baptize people and to follow the Lord in what we call believer's baptism. It's commanded by God. It's not for salvation, but in obedience to God. Look in Mark chapter number 16. In Mark chapter number 16 and verse number 15, this was Mark's take on it from the Gospels. And you got to pay attention to the wording because the wording is what is so critical. And Mark chapter 16, look at verse number 15. And we know what the Bible says here. But and verse number 14, let's take it at the paragraph mark. "And afterward he appeared unto 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them without their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not on them that had seen him after he was risen. And he said to them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Now, if we stop there, you could connect baptism with salvation. But notice the semicolon, "But he that believeth not shall be damned." Now, who's going to be damned? That person that does not believe on Jesus Christ is going to be damned. Not the person that's not baptized. If baptism was essential for salvation, it'd say he that believeth and is not baptized, he that believeth and baptized not shall be damned. The word baptism is not connected with the "but," because it has nothing to do with salvation. It's something we do because of salvation. And that's where the controversy comes in. That's where the controversy comes in. Back in our text in Mark chapter number 8, in verse 36 and 37, the eunuch has believed on Jesus Christ. He has believed on him, and now he wants to get baptized. There was a black preacher baptized at one time, and some of the black brethren, they churches, they did things a little different. And what they used to do in the one church is they would baptize people until they would say, "I believe, I believe, I believe." And this one black preacher, he was baptizing this lady, dear sister. And he put her in the water and he brought her up and said, "Do you believe?" And she didn't say it quick enough, so he put her back under. And he brought her up and she didn't say it quick enough again, so he put her back under. And finally, about the sixth, seventh time, she yells, "I believe, I believe, I believe you're trying to drown me, preacher." Now, again, she believed before she got in the water, right? The faith takes place before you get baptized. It's not the baptism that creates faith. It's the Spirit of God working in our life that creates faith. Now, let me say it. Do I think every Christian ought to be baptized? Yes. Every child of God ought to get baptized. But you don't become a child of God by getting baptized. You become a child of God by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do you think Philip asked him? He said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." You see, it's your faith that saves you. Your faith in Jesus Christ. Now, then what is it? What's an act of obedience to God? It's an act of obedience to God. There are two New Testament ordinances. and baptism is one of them, and the Lord's Supper is the other. Now, Christ was baptized, all the apostles were baptized, and all New Testament believers were baptized. And again, it's an act of obedience to God. If you look at Acts chapter 2, we're in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 2 and in verse number 37, notice what it says here, Acts 2, and verse number 37, and this is what the Bible says. Now, when they had heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and Peter said unto them, the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received the word, they gladly received the word. They believed what Peter was preaching. Were baptized the same day with the head on him about 3,000 souls. On the day of Pentecost, when these people believed in Christ, what did they do? They followed the Lord in believers' baptism. In Acts chapter number 8, where we were just at, if you look in verse number 12, when the Samaritans received the preaching of Philip. Look in verse 12. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and what? Women. They believed the preaching. They believed on Jesus Christ. They followed the Lord and believers' baptism. Of course, the eunuch did the same thing. The Apostle Paul, when he was saved, what did he do? He believed on Jesus Christ, and then he was baptized by Barnabas. Or Acts chapter number 9, and you're right there. Look in verse number Ananias. It was Ananias who baptized him. And in verse number 15, and it says, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel of me to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered his house, putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, Brother Saul, he's believed on Jesus Christ. The Lord, even Jesus, had appeared unto thee in the way as thou came and had sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight, and forthwith and arose and was what? Baptized. He believed, and he was baptized. See, it's an act, a simple act of obedience. In Acts chapter 10, when Cornelius and his group had received the preaching of Peter, he was saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And then Peter said, can any forbid water that these should not be baptized as well as we? It's right there in chapter 10. And he baptized them. Again, it's the act of obedience to God. When Christians refuse to follow the next step of baptism, then they're disobeying in defiance to what God has commanded. It's an important step after a person's saved. Now, he said, what about when people make multiple professions? Well, you know what? Hey, what I do, if someone gets saved, they say they were saved, and they say, you know, I wasn't, and we baptize them, they get saved again, they get saved for real, then we baptize them again. You say, why? Because you get saved after you believe on, you get baptized after you believe on Jesus Christ. And there's a need for to be baptized then. Because the first one didn't count because you weren't saved. Now, again, and that's why we try and be careful with that kind of thing, and make sure people are sure so they don't have to, hey, you know what I'm saying? We've had people that were in the church for 30 years and never had followed the Lord in believers' baptism. My thought was, how did you become a church member and never submit the believers' baptism? And I think to myself, something's wrong with this picture. As a Christian, the Holy Ghost speaking to your heart, I wasn't saved long and I wanted to get baptized. I really did. After I got saved, I wanted to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. And for people who claim to be saved who don't want to follow the Lord in believers' baptism, you know what it does? It puts a question to me on their salvation. Because if you're saved, you're going to want to do the next thing. And that's follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Those things go hand in hand. No doubt about it. It's an act of obedience. It's an answer of a good conscience towards God. Look in 1 Peter chapter number 3. I had a guy show me this verse one time trying to tell me that baptism is what brings salvation. And I thought to myself, that's not what it says. That's not what it says. 1 Peter chapter 3. And again, that's why you have to read the whole passage. You can't just choose a little wording out of the passage because that's what all the cults do. 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 18, notice what it says, speaking about Noah, and it says, For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also went and preached to the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. Now, is that talking about water baptism? No. The 8 souls that were saved were the 8 people on the ark. The people who got baptized that day in the flood perished, died, and went to hell. Now, notice what it says, the like figure, picture now. Figure is a picture in the Bible, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. See the parentheses? Here's the explanation. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As a child of God, you cannot have a good conscience if you have not followed the Lord and believer's baptism. It's impossible. You say, why? Because baptism kind of completes us. Because we're following Christ's command, just as the Lord's Supper does. The Lord's Supper is just as important as baptism. That's why we stress the importance of receiving communion and receiving the Lord's Supper. Is it essential for salvation? No. But is it something a Christian should do? Yes. Why we baptize. And then, what is baptism? Look in Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6 this morning. What is baptism? What does it really signify? Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 1. The Bible gives us a instruction here about baptism. Romans 6 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, and like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Now the key word there is like. It's a figure. It's a picture, okay? Verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, the ideal here is there's a dual application, physical and spiritual, but the application here is when you go down into the water, it's a picture of Jesus Christ being buried and being in the grave 3 days and 3 nights. When you come out of the water, it's a picture of his resurrection. And then it says to walk in the newness of life. Do not we say that when we're baptized? We'll say buried with him in baptism, raised together to walk in the likeness of his resurrection, to walk in the newness of life. Isn't that what we say when we baptize? Yes, that's exactly what we say. Because the idea was a picture of the old man and the old life and the sin being cleansed and forgiven. And it's a picture of the new life in Jesus Christ. Now, thank God that the Bible said, therefore, being Christ, he's a new creature, old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. A picture of the gospel. The gospel is 1 Corinthians 15. If you look there for a minute in 1 Corinthians 15, people say, well, what's a clear explanation of the gospel? It's 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul clearly explains what the gospel is. 1 Corinthians 15, he said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received, and wherein you stand, by which you are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached, unless ye believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You see, the death, the burial, and the resurrection, baptism is a picture of that. And that's why in Acts chapter 8, 38, when the eunuch's being baptized, if you look back in our text, it says, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. You gotta go into the water. It's baptism by immersion. You gotta go under. And again, because it's a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a public testimony of salvation. See, what did the eunuch do? He wanted to do it publicly where everybody could see it. You know why we don't baptize privately and in secret? Because that's not what it's about. It's about publicly identifying with Jesus Christ. We have had kids come to church and said they got saved. I said, did you get saved? They said, yeah, I believed on Christ. He said, let me talk to you about baptism. He said, I don't want to get baptized. I said, really? Why not? I don't want to get baptized. Or they'll say, I don't want to publicly tell people I got saved. Let me tell you something. If you're ashamed to publicly confess Christ, I doubt that you ever really got saved. Because when you get saved, you want to tell somebody. Right? You do. You want to tell somebody when you believe on Jesus Christ. You want somebody to know that you've been saved, and you want to tell as many people as you can. I did. So in my mind, I think, what's the hang up here? How come a person doesn't want to follow the Lord in believer's baptism? Because maybe something didn't happen on the inside. Because if something didn't happen on the inside, then you don't want to do that next step. You know, most sinners, hey, they don't want to get baptized. We joke around in Trinidad. We joke around with the sinners and the Hindus and the Muslims and the Catholic folks. Hey, he said, I'm coming by your house. I'm going to baptize you in the morning. They said, preacher, you come by my house. I'll have a. They said they had called a cutlass. I'll have a cutlass for you. It's a machete. You better not come by my house. You're not baptizing me. And we laugh. We go down the road because they associate baptism with salvation, right? Because they don't know any better. But we would joke around about it because, hey, no sinner wants to get baptized. Because they associate being baptized with Jesus Christ. Do they not? Just like we didn't have to tell sinners not to take the Lord's Supper. When we gave the Lord's Supper, they didn't want nothing to do with it. Why? Because it's a spiritual thing. And the natural man doesn't want nothing to do with things that are spiritual. But we used to kid around with them Hindus, and we would. And they said, yeah, we're coming by, and we're going to carry you. We're going to baptize you in the morning. Now, you know, baptism's significant. You know why? Because people don't mind if you get saved, but they do mind if you get baptized. I've seen a lot of parents didn't care if their children made a profession of faith, but they did care if they got baptized or not. They said they strictly forbid them to be baptized. And I'm thinking to myself, well, you can't help it. They're saved. They're going to heaven. But the reason they forbid the baptism is because they associate baptism with salvation. They don't understand the significance of it, and they also understand to be baptized is to publicly confess Christ that you're a child of God. And therein lies the problem. The most difficult thing on the mission field is to see people follow the Lord in believers' baptism because they're never persecuted until they're publicly baptized. To publicly identify with Jesus Christ means to be persecuted by the unbelieving and the infidel. One of the worst things we ever did was put the baptistry in the church. When the baptistry was at the river, everybody got to see it. And it was a public testimony of our faith. And it did make a difference. Because there's something about doing things publicly that is good for the soul. Publicly confessing Christ. And that's where so many struggle with this thing of public confession. There was a man one time during the Roman Empire. His name was Genesius. He was a Roman actor. And during the days of Diocletian, and he used to appear in the plays and mock Christians. And they would be ridiculed. But one day they asked him to perform a part where he would be mocking a Christian being baptized. And at that moment, something seized on him. An irresistible power that he suddenly stood still and became silent. And this is what he said. He said, I myself desire to become a Christian. They say he left the stage, received baptism, and sealed his fate in a martyr's death. You see, to be baptized publicly in the Roman Empire was a sentence of death. Because you were confessing Christ as your king, which was strictly forbidden. Who should be baptized? Well, I think we make it clear everyone who's saved should be baptized. Everyone who believes on Christ should be baptized. In Acts chapter number 16, when Lydia was saved, and the Philippian jailer was saved. If you look there, Acts 16, and in verse number 14 and 15, the Bible says this, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended on things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained him. If you look down the chapter, or verse number 35, or verse number 25, when the Philippian jailer gets saved. Look on down there in verse number 30. It says, he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord to all that were in his house. He took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized he and all his straightway. Now, I do understand in the New Testament, in the early church, the gospel was spreading and people were moving from place to place and they weren't in one place very long. So they baptized people immediately after they were saved. I'm for that. I'm not against it. But I think the sooner you get baptized after you're saved, the better. Why? Because the sooner you identify with Jesus Christ. And the sooner you have a clear conscience. Because you cannot have a clear conscience as a child of God and not follow the Lord and believer's baptism. So when? As soon as possible. No class, no text, no confirmation. We say, what is it? It's a commitment to the Lord. It's a confession to the world. It's the consummation of your faith. I hope you fully understand this morning what baptism is, why we baptize, and who gets baptized. Are you saved? Do you know the Lord as your Savior? Have you taken that next step? It's all serious business. See, I've been baptized 25 times, and remember what I said? And you still don't know Jesus Christ. That's sad. That's sad. Brother Butch is going to come. Sister Susan is going to come. We're going to have a song of invitation this morning. My prayer is, Holy Ghost of God, will speak to your heart. Brother Butch, I want to sing, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." I have decided to follow Jesus. We're going to sing that this morning.